A need is what is necessary to survive and thrive. It's more than just the minimum required so that you are okay. We each have within us the capacity to thrive, and meeting needs allows us to do so. In order to approach our needs, we need to take into account these two principles. The first is that our needs matter. Your needs matter. If we don't believe that our needs matter, it's going to be impossible to actually meet them. If you try to put that thought into your body, my needs matter, you might find that it's very, very uncomfortable. Whatever discomfort arises in the face of this thought, my needs matter, is very important. And in order to connect with your needs, you will need to work through the discomfort you have at the thought that your needs matter. A second major premise here, or idea here, is that we want to be sufficiently connected with ourselves, sufficiently intimate with ourselves, that as the signals come to us about what our needs are, we are attuned and listening. We don't need to be fully conscious of all of our needs. That's asking too much of ourselves. Our needs will make themselves apparent to our consciousness when they need to, if we are sufficiently connected to ourselves. There are four ways to connect with ourselves that will allow these needs to bubble up into our consciousness. The first way is through introspection. That is, we can simply ask ourselves, what do we need right now? What do we need right now? What bubbles up might be something seemingly trivial. Oh, right now, I need to shift the position of my leg. Or it might be something much, much deeper. For instance, oh, I need to feel supported in my life. I need to spend a week in nature. Sometimes what we have going on are very, very momentary expressions of what Avi and I have started to call core needs. So a momentary expression of a core need might be, I need to move my leg right now, but it might not feel super essential in this moment to do so. But it speaks to a core need around physical comfort or a core need around health. The second way we can get in touch with our needs is by listening to our bodies. Our bodies are speaking to us. If we are sufficiently connected to our bodies, they'll speak to us very subtly, and we'll be able to adjust to meet our needs without a crisis. But at some point, if we don't meet the needs of our bodies, then our bodies will fall into crisis. The more sensitive we are to our body's needs, the less intense the pain will have to be for us to listen and meet our needs. The third way we can get in touch with our needs is by listening to our emotions. Our emotions are nothing more and nothing less than a guidance system for us to meet our needs. Emotions are always pointing toward the meeting of needs. Sometimes the emotion tells us that we need to change our behavior in order to meet our needs. And sometimes the emotions are ways of working through unmet needs or working through a need in the process of being met. It can be a negative emotion or a positive emotion. Both are part of this guidance system. So for Avi, she has a lot of curiosity. Feeling curious is a very pleasurable experience for her. And that speaks to a deep need she has for information and understanding. Maybe you feel peace. And peace might be the reward for having met some need. You've resolved something in yourself, you've met a need, and now peace is the result. And of course, negative emotions can guide us. So I gave the example of grief. Grief is the need to process the loss of somebody you care about. Anger is another emotion that might be telling us to adjust our relationship with somebody or to make a change in our boundaries. I wish it were easy to say that emotions are very clear communicators or messengers of our needs. But the truth is, emotions and needs are, though always connected, not always connected in a very clear or simple way. Figuring out what our true needs are through our emotions is a lifelong practice. There are two major blocks or complexities that get in the way between our emotions and our needs. One is that oftentimes our needs are in opposition to each other. They are in conflict. So maybe you have a need for, well, we all have a need for belonging, and we all have a need for self-expression. And many, many times in our lives, these two needs will be in opposition. I want to belong to this group, but if I say what's really true to me, I risk not belonging. And so I am in conflict, and all of these emotions are arising as a result of that conflict, and I can't figure out how to navigate it. Also in the way of the direct connection between our emotions and our needs is trauma. And trauma is when something happens to us that then prevents us from being in touch with our true need. There's a wound, and then we compensate for that wound. And then our emotions are structured around the compensation for the trauma. So let's say you really, really need to feel loved, but love was not available to you as a child as much as you needed it. And so what your unconscious settled on as compensation for the pain of not being loved is the satisfaction or pleasure in being validated. And so you can't get love, but what you can get is people telling you you're amazing, or brilliant, or smart, or beautiful, or talented. And so now somebody says you're talented, and you light up, and you glow, and you feel great, and it seems to be meeting a need, but what it's actually meeting is a secondary need or a proxy need. Disentangling the proxy needs from the real needs is the work of getting in touch with and ultimately healing trauma. And the fourth way we can get in touch with our needs is through desire. If we were fully healed and fully healthy, which I am not, and I doubt anyone else in this room is, if we were fully healed and fully healthy and fully connected to ourselves and living in healthy communities, desire would always point the way to the meeting of a need. Desire is there. We want things to meet our needs. But many, many things can get in the way of desire. One of many, for instance, that I was talking about is addiction. Addiction is a secondary need that arises in the face of not meeting the primary one. And then we want the thing we're addicted to, even though we don't actually need it. So how do we continue to do this work, continue to differentiate these secondary needs from primary needs, continue to distinguish what we want because it's truly good for us from what we want because it just soothes us in our pain? How do we do that? Questions for another day, but boy, are those good questions that we will keep working on.